is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
A two-part program today, getting started with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Looking over the COVID-19 statistics of the last few days, last couple of weeks, looks like overall we've seen a good trend.
We have seen a really nice trend. We're down in the number of cases, and I'm pleased to report that unless something crazy happens, we will be back in the high range and out of the extreme range by this Friday.
And of course, that announcement will come officially by the state tomorrow. But I know that the information released yesterday, actually Saturday, we were significantly under the threshold and making a lot of progress there.
I think you're exactly correct. So this is a really, really good sign.
What are some of the recent cases coming from?
Well, we're seeing cases now come from workplaces, especially, and we're also seeing them come, from several church outbreaks that we have.
And what are your concerns since we're in spring break now? Obviously, some people are out traveling.
Well, we really worry about people gathering, especially with people outside their family. So if your family decides to go to the coast for spring break and watch the whales or go hike, there's no concern there. But the concern is the huge number of young people who are gathering in southern Florida. In fact, it was so bad this morning that they had to declare a curfew. That number of people coming from all around the country being really close together is a tremendous opportunity for this disease to spread.
And I know we've heard that concern a lot in the past few days, and really something like that, if it leads to a number of cases, could impact many different states.
Yes. And so what could happen now is that if all of these people get together and they spread it, they'll go back to their homes, may not feel that ill because young people typically don't, and then spread it to others in the community. And so what we do see is that people travel. And when they travel and they come back, they may be feeling well during their trip. They come back and then they can spread it to many, many others.
Let's talk about the current trend in Oregon. Douglas County's down, but how's Oregon doing overall?
Overall, Oregon is doing great. Southwest Oregon, which would typically be one of the least affected areas through most of this, is a little higher than it's been in the past. So we do worry about that. But in general, we're doing very, very well.
Now, I know looking at some of the county numbers, it looked like there was at least the potential for Jackson and maybe even Josephine County to go the opposite direction when the risk levels change on Friday, that they actually had the potential to go to extreme.
Yeah, well, we're not sure about what's going to happen there, but they are struggling with a higher number of cases.
What about the national picture of COVID-19? You mentioned spring break and travel, but let's take a look at other things and how are things doing?
Well, overall, the country is doing okay, although there are several states that are really starting to see an increase in cases, especially Michigan. We're starting to see an increase in cases in Minnesota and an increase in cases in the New York, New Jersey area. And those are worrisome because at each of the previous peaks, they were the earliest places to peak.
Interesting. And do we know what is driving those cases?
Well, we think in the cases in Florida and some of the cases in New York, variants are really what's drawing these cases higher.
And there's a question, too, with the variants as to whether or not the vaccines that are currently out can fight those off with the same veracity that they are doing with the standard COVID-19, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, well, the earlier kinds of the vaccine, the B11 and the B12, the vaccines are very, very effective. But as we start now to move to the further variants, the Brazilian variant, the UK variant, the South African variant, we think the vaccines will be less effective.
What about the world picture? How are things looking internationally?
Well, internationally, it's, again, a tale of two cities, a tale of two areas. Pacific is doing great, very low number of cases. But Europe, South America, and the Middle East are really, really struggling.
And what do we know about why that's happening?
Well, we think in the Middle East, it's just spreading disease. So they had disease over the last 6 weeks or so that has really been spreading a lot. Started in Israel and now spreading out. Israel has done a great job with vaccination, so it's slowed in Israel, but it's spreading in the areas around Israel. You remember in the West Bank, in Gaza, and in Syria, there's a tremendous amount of disruption. We think that's one of the places that it spreads. In Brazil, Brazil's just been a mess for a year now. And so for an entire year, they've had lots of issues. We think much of their issue is due to the variant that they have.
Let's go in depth about the potential for a fourth vaccine. It seems like that's getting closer. Tell us more about it and how it differs from the other ones.
Well, there are two new vaccines that I think we might see in the next 6 weeks. One is the AstraZeneca vaccine made by the University of Oxford and AstraZeneca. It's a chimp adenoviral vaccine. It's been shown to be really quite effective and quite safe, although there have been some safety concerns over the last few weeks raised in Europe. The other one is the Novavax vaccine, which is made in the U.S. It's a protein-based vaccine. It will be the first protein-based vaccine and also seems to be very safe and effective.
Now, that's the first time I've actually heard about that one. Is it farther off?
No, I think it's pretty close. Now, it's a protein vaccine, and protein vaccines are not as easily scalable as the others. So it's going to take a while to get enough of this vaccine to make a big difference.
And what about the testing that goes into making a vaccine like that?
Well, the testing is just amazing that goes into this. Each of these vaccines has had large randomized control studies to look at its safety and effectiveness, and all of them have been shown to be very safe and very effective.
And I know a lot of people have been concerned along the way about just how quickly all of this vaccination, all these vaccines, rather, have come out when normally a lot of vaccines are talking years to take them out. What's changed here?
So what's changed here is on Operation Warp Speed, they sped these up by delaying the amount of time it took to raise money. So what would typically happen in the past, you'd come up with a vaccine, you do a phase one trial, you look at the results, and then if they look good, you try to raise money for the phase two trial. And if that looked good, then you'd raise money for the phase three trial. And typically, these trials would have to be small because these trials were expensive. What Operation Warp Speed did is said, don't worry about the money, just worry about producing it. So each of the phases is just the same as before, but the time it used to take to raise money was eliminated. And that's why we were able to do about 3 or 4 years worth of research and safety testing in less than a year. So that, if there's anything which has been great about the COVID, it's been Operation Warp Speed.
What about vaccinations here in Douglas County? We've seen a ramping up in Oregon. Is the county getting its fair share?
I think as of last week, it clearly is. We're getting quite a few vaccines this week, and I think that's going to be good news because this week we're also opening up to those 45 to 64. So we're going to have a lot more people eligible this week, and we're hoping to give out a record number of vaccines this week.
And that's to people that have special health conditions, right?
Well, it's people 45 to 64 who have underlying conditions, although it's really hard to separate out whether a little bit of high blood pressure or a visit to the ED for respiratory problems counts. And so we're not going to be strict about counting the underlying conditions, although we will be strict about ages.
Now, a couple weeks ago, maybe, I guess it was just over a week ago, we had a big vaccine clinic for seniors. When do the folks that were at that clinic get their second dose?
So the people who are at that clinic will get their second dose on April the 3rd, exactly 3 weeks after their first. So if you had a 10:30 appointment on the 13th, you have a 10:30 appointment on the 3rd. And so we are really hoping to get people in right at that time. Now, there may be some people be unavailable that day. We'll find other ways to do it.
And, of course, some of those, though, most of them were a two-shot vaccine. Some was the one-shot Johnson & Johnson, right?
Right. So we did the Johnson & Johnson early. We had some extra that week. We've not gotten any J&J since then. And so we do not have extra J&J. So we don't know which vaccines we're going to offer. We clearly will offer the second dose Pfizer, but it will all depend upon what we receive by the 3rd of April.
So for folks looking to be vaccinated to fall in the protocols right now, what's their best way to move that process along?
Well, there's over 30 places in the county where people can get vaccine, including almost all of the big clinics and many of the pharmacies we're working with. In fact, I think all of the large pharmacies in Douglas County are now enrolled and now providing vaccine. So Safeway, Albertsons, Costco, Rite Aid, Fred Meyer, Bi-Mart, Walgreens, Walmart, I think that's all, are all signed up. So the pharmacies are a great place to get vaccine.
All right, we'll end it there for today. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on again with us.
Thank you, and go Doc.
All right, 1246, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. On tomorrow's program, State Senator Floyd Prezanski will be joining us right after a big presentation he's making to the media. We'll find out more about that and get his perspectives on a number of issues on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Part 2 today, Kevin Pike from the Safe Routes to School with the Douglas Education Service District. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, maybe just so people understand if they're not familiar, what is Safe Routes to School? What's that program?
Sure. So, it is an Oregon Department of Transportation-funded program designed to teach 3rd through 6th grade kids how to safely walk or bike to school. We utilize a fleet of 30 bicycles. So, we go around to elementary schools, teach them how to walk and bike to school safely.
And I know, when I grew up, which apparently was a long time ago, riding your bike to school was pretty common. In more recent years, between a lot of different concerns, sometimes it's the school's location or just time, sometimes it's parents' schedule, less kids are walking or biking to school.
Yes, I think that is true. And one of the things that we want to do with this program is to encourage more kids to walk and bike to school.
Now, I know part of this as well, you've worked in a couple of different areas and had success, like out in Green, with tying in and ultimately getting some state funding and other funding to, really make some significant changes.
Yes, I think so, yeah. I only started working for the Safe Routes to School in January, but I do know in the past we have done a lot of good things.
And, of course, when you make the routes a little bit safer, which, of course, hence the name, kids are more likely to ride. How did you get involved in working on this project?
Well, it's kind of a good story because I used to ride my bike to school every day when I was a kid, and I saw this job posting, and I couldn't have been more happy to see it. I thought it was a great opportunity for me to show my love for bikes and to, spread the joy for it to other kids and to encourage a healthier route to school.
So we've got spring break on this week, and you and a number of other groups are working together on a bike clinic on Wednesday. Tell us all about it.
Yes, sir. So at 11 on Wednesday the 24th, we will be having a first bike clinic at the basketball court behind the tennis center. We partnered up with Blue Zones Project and the Umpqua Valley Bike Outreach and Roseburg City Parks.
So what's going to happen during this bike clinic?
Well, that's a great question. So what we're going to do is we're going to have lots of different stations. We're going to have bike drills. We're going to teach how to, maneuver around stops, and look behind you, making sure all those bases are covered. We're going to have some memory matchup games, play some bingo on traffic signs, learn how to interpret those. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And how long does the event run?
So it's going to be 11 to 4, so anytime during that time you want to come out.
So basically a drop-in format. For most kids, it'll depend on what they want to do, but how long will they likely be there to get through a lot of this?
I'd say probably half an hour.
So a lot of different opportunities there. You've got people helping them, and I know one of the things for kids sometimes, and sometimes it ties in with maybe the abilities of their parents, is even things like basic bike repair.
Yes, the Umpqua Valley Bike Outreach will be there with a bike repair station. So if you need anything done to it, they'd be happy to do it.
And even not just maybe getting it done that day, but just learning about, okay, if, you know, your handlebars are a little loose, exactly where are you adjusting something? I mean, a lot of kids just, it's not stuff they know. And increasingly, it seems like maybe their parents don't either.
I think that's true, yeah. And I think this event will help spread that awareness.
So around the area, I mean, we've got the bike routes, the bike paths here in Roseburg. A lot of folks come from out of the area and really like to do some of the biking in this area, kind of especially in non-COVID times. Folks would come down and enjoy some of the different trips, the vineyard tour and things like that. It's a real popular place for biking, but a lot of times it tends to be more adults, and a lot of kids don't really seem like they've kind of gotten that love of bicycling instilled in them in recent years.
Yeah, I think that's true. And one of the things we want to do with this program is to encourage kids to get out on their bikes and to experience, you know, the passion that most adults have with biking. And I think one of the things we want to do with this program is to get more state funding to increase safer routes to school. There's a lot of, especially out in the more rural areas of Douglas County, most schools are on highways, and it's not really safe for kids to ride their bikes. So one of the things we want to do is to help improve that infrastructure.
And I know that you've also got some things like games and stuff. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so we will have bingo at the event. We will be having a memory matchup game, and we'll be having coloring sheets. So we want to get all the kids involved with that.
What kind of age range are we talking here for kids?
So generally speaking, for this event, it's any kid that wants to come. We'll actually have our bike fleet there. So if you don't have a bike, that's no problem. You can use one. But generally, we're targeting third through sixth grade.
And for kids that do have a bike, though, it would be a good thing to bring with them just so they can kind of do some of these activities on their own bike.
Absolutely. Yes, we encourage that as well. And the Umpqua Valley Bike Outreach will be happy to work on it if anything is wrong with it.
Well, and I know that they have been training a lot of younger people, essentially being like almost a training school for older teens, or maybe a bit older than that as well, to learn all these things, to maybe even have an ultimate, you know, job and career doing this.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't know much about the Umpqua Valley Bike Outreach, but I do know that they have a lot of apprentices there.
And for the bike clinic, you mentioned a lot of the other groups getting involved. Are they going to be doing specific activities as well, or are they just kind of on board as sponsors?
We're just all doing it all together. We're collaborating. We all agreed on the games and the activities, and so it's all going to be one big group.
And you mentioned riding when you were young. What about riding? What did you especially like?
You know, I like the freedom, honestly. I was able to take my time getting to school, coming back. It was nice fresh air, nice relaxing ride to school in the morning, so I'm not super stressed out. And then coming back from school, I had time to reflect on how my day was. And it was really just great. I mean, I stayed in shape doing it, because when I rode my bike, I was on hills a lot. I lived in Salem, so there's a lot of hills. And that helped me keep in shape when I was a kid.
And what age were you when you really started riding a lot?
I'd say fourth grade.
Wow. Okay. So you've been doing it for a long time.
Yes, sir.
So do you still ride a lot?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I actually have a bike, and, you know, every day I'll try and take a ride for at least 30 minutes.
Wow. That's pretty good. So for people wondering about the event, I mean, it's outdoors, out by the basketball courts right there by the tennis center. Once you throw in all the little COVID-19 information people want to know about.
Sure. Yeah. So we're really covering our bases here. We want people to be 6 feet apart, you know, wear a mask. Sure, it's outdoors, but we want to make sure everyone is safe. We'll have everything marked out. We'll have hand sanitizer. We'll sanitize all the bikes, all the helmets. Want to make sure everyone is safe.
So if people want to find out more about this, about the bike clinic on Wednesday, where can they go?
Sure. So we actually have a Facebook page. You can reach out to us at Safe Routes to School, Douglas County. You can send us a message or comment on any one of our posts, and we'd be happy to answer.
So again, that's Wednesday, 11 to 4, outdoors by the basketball courts, by the tennis center. Anything else people ought to know?
Bring an umbrella. It's going to rain.
There we go. Always happens when you try to ride in Oregon sometimes. Gavin Pike from Safe Routes to School from the Douglas ESD, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.